A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Amen.
The church is called to play the tune of the gospel of Jesus Christ for everyone to see and for everyone to hear, so that people will feel invited to sing and to dance along. When I first saw this video a couple of years ago, I was in tears, and I'm close to tears right now. Ode to Joy is beautiful. Beautiful piece of music, and just hits you right in the gut, especially with all the voices singing at some point, and the way it builds. But if I just listen to this on the radio or in my earbuds, I wouldn't get emotional like that. There's something in this video that connects to my deepest motivation for being in ministry. See, I went into ministry. I took this job because I want to see the people of God learn to play the tune of the gospel. And I'm playing it in such a way that people that do not know Jesus, people outside of this church, just in the world, that they feel invited, that they hear this and are reminded of the beauty of this tune, the beauty of this story, and they feel invited to sing and to dance along. So for me, this video is what the kingdom of God is like. When the church of Jesus Christ truly understands the gospel, lives the gospel in their everyday life, testifies of the gospel in this world, then the gospel will be advancing in this world and is multiplied in the lives of others. And that's what you see happening in that video, and that's what I think is in the passage that we read as well. Once people are brave enough to play this tune publicly, others will begin to join in until it spreads. It spreads like a wildfire. And there's no denying it. Everyone is hearing it, and people feel invited to participate. And I know it's a flash mob. I know it's well rehearsed. I know that it's, you know, videoed from multiple different angles. This is well prepared. I know that, and I'm not stupid. But it's communicating exactly what is my deepest motivation for doing this. And what I believe is the heart of what we are supposed to be about as a church community. I want to empower the people of God to be the church of God, to play the tune of the gospel of Jesus Christ and seeing the kingdom of God spread like a wildfire in the city. When Jesus talked to his disciples about their role in this world, he talked about us being a light in this world. And he says specifically to them, don't hide that light. Don't hide it under a bucket. Rather put it on the stand so that everyone can see it. This light is not just for you, it's for everyone. What I've done for you, I've also done for them. What I am doing in you, I would like to do in them as well. What I'm doing through you is so that they might know. In this message series, we've talked about building up altars. It's this metaphorical way of talking about dedicating spaces in our lives in worship and devotion to God so that he can send the fire of his Spirit. And so we discuss the altar of the heart, where this all begins, when we give our hearts to him, when we open up our hearts for him. Then we talked about the altar of the home, where it really settles the fire, where in our immediate atmosphere, in our immediate relationships, where we carry responsibility or intimacy. And today we're going to talk about the altar of the church. This is where the fire spreads. And my heart for our church, specifically for this year, but also in general, my heart for this church is that we will grow more and more to be a community of Christ followers that welcomes God's presence and his power in our personal lives and also in our gatherings, living out the good news of Jesus in every way and inviting people that live far away from him to receive Jesus, to be restored by Jesus, and to begin to live for him. So my heart is that, like in this video, we will all join in to play the tune of the gospel so beautifully and so loudly that people in the streets will feel invited to sing and to dance along. When Jesus talks about the church being the light of the world, he's talking about reflecting his light. See, Jesus ultimately is the light that God sent into this world, the light that came in this world. And John 1 says the opening of the Gospel of John is not about Joseph and Mary and on a donkey to Bethlehem and all of that. No, it's about, he describes it as light breaking into the darkness. And the darkness does not have an answer. It doesn't, is not able to overcome it. It's not able to throw up any barriers that will stop the light. No, the light is breaking in with an ultimate power move. In Jesus, God is recreating this world. See, where the creation process in Genesis 1 kicks off with these words, "Let there be light." So, the new creation in Jesus kicks off with the same words, "Let there be light." And Jesus is the light that is breaking into the darkness of this world, into the darkness of a heart. And in everything that Jesus did, the light of God is breaking through in the darkness and in the brokenness of human life under the power of sin. When he touched someone with healing, it's like light is breaking into the darkness, restoring what was broken. When he delivered someone, it is light breaking into darkness, setting free who are held in prison. When he teaches about how to live, it's like light breaking into darkness. He is showing a way forward in the distorted way of this world. And then when he died on the cross, he let all the darkness of sin, all the brokenness of human life come on him, carrying its pain, suffering its consequences. And then when he rose again on the third day, he became the firstborn of a new creation, giving access to a new way of life and a new relationship with God. And on the day that he will return, he will make all things new. Forever pushing out the darkness and all that hold on to the darkness, and forever be the light of men. As it says in Revelation 22, they will need no light or lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And in this time between the resurrection and the return, the church is sent out with this mission. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. The church is called to live as a gospel community in this world. First, we're invited to receive him. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 phrases it in the same terminology. You're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. Called out of darkness, out of the shadows, into the light. This is where we hear the tune of the gospel and begin to listen. We begin to respond, begin to sing along, we begin to dance. And second, we are called to be transformed into his image. As we begin to live in relationship with Jesus, with him as our Savior and King, we receive his healing, we receive his deliverance, we begin to live in his way. This is where we begin to memorize the tune. We begin to play it for ourselves, sing it for ourselves, playing along. The tune now becomes more like an anthem. It begins to shape our lives. And then thirdly, we are sent out to do the things that he did. You are the light of the world. We realize that what we've experienced with Jesus is not just for us, it's for all. It's for our neighbors, it's for our friends, it's for the people that we pass by every day. And so we join him in this process of new creation, unashamed, and with our newfound skills, we join the orchestra and we begin to play for everyone to hear. The church is a gospel community. It consists of those who have heard the gospel, believe the gospel, are being changed by the gospel, and it's called to live out the gospel and preach the gospel so that more and more might hear and might join. Building the altar of the church means that we take seriously and lean into all the things Jesus has sent us out for. Even when they're new, even when they're uncomfortable. I love that picture of the lamp that should not be hidden under a bucket, but instead put on the stand and give light to the whole room. It's just such a vivid picture, such a thing to always go back to and remember, what are we called to do? Oh, we are a light in this world. You know, there's always that nice option of hiding under the bucket. Yet it feels nice. You know, I bet it's warm. When there's a good lamp and there's a bucket over it, it gets a little bit warm. It's also super light within the bucket because it reflects off the, you know, the bucket. And we're like, it's so nice and warm and light in here. I'm good. It's fine. You know, what might be out there? When we lift off that bucket, off of the light, like what will happen? Maybe the darkness is so strong that we won't be able to shine our lights anymore. It's uncomfortable. What might happen? But actually, in the darkness, light shines even brighter. You know, for the longest time, when we think about us being the light in the world, I've felt like in the opening story in the Chronicles of Narnia, there is a girl that goes through a magic cupboard into a new world and suddenly sets foot in this snowy forest. And the first thing she sees there is this lantern. I just read through all the Chronicles of Narnia with my daughter. It was beautiful. If you don't know this, then you need to begin reading those because they're beautiful. But it's this odd picture. What is that lantern? What is that lamp doing in the middle of a forest? What does it mean? What is it there for? I think that's how I've sometimes felt. It's supposed to be a dark forest, by the way. Because now it feels like it's not doing anything. That's how I felt being a light in this world. I don't really belong here. I don't really belong here. It feels like a reminder of a time long ago, but that's already past. Faithfully, we continue to shine, but no one really remembers what it's there for or who put it there. Maybe that's how you felt as well as a Christian. Like, that resonates. I think the Lord is giving us a new picture. I don't think this was the right one all along. I think he's given us a new picture. Because we need to wake up to a new reality that the church is called to function as a light in the world, but as a lighthouse. As a lighthouse. A lighthouse is a beacon of light that is sent out to ships in the dark, guiding them to find the harbor, to a safe way to the harbor. A lighthouse functions as protection, as guidance, sometimes even as a lifeline. And it seems like our world is more and more in need of a church that is aware of their function as a lighthouse, guiding people home, guiding people to the harbor, to safely come to shore. I am noticing that many people feel lost and confused and in need of guidance, looking for a safe way home. And as a lighthouse, we can guide people to find their hope, to find their purpose, to find their home in Jesus. How can we do this? I believe that we are sent out as the light of the world with the message and the mission and the ministry of the kingdom. A few words on each. First of all, the message of the kingdom. We're sent out with the good news of Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the good news. And like Ode to Joy, it might sound a little bit like an old tune, like, oh, like, I think I've heard that before once, something, something, but I don't really remember what it's called. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know exactly how it's supposed to sound like. I mean, if I'm listening to the So Many version of it. But it's sort of like, oh, yeah, I remember this is an old tune that sounds somewhat familiar. That's maybe, in a way, what the message of Jesus Christ as well. It's been around for a while. It might sound like an old tune, but you'll be surprised how refreshingly it is received when it's received for the first time, and how powerful that message is, and how good the good news actually is. It's far more than an old tune. And I believe it's up to the church to, with confidence and in the public again, play and sing this tune with the attitude of Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And boy, do we need some salvation in our time. If today you'd like to respond to this tune, receive the good news of Jesus in your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do so at the end of this message. Secondly, the church is sent out with the mission of the kingdom. So Jesus' mission to the disciples, and by extension to the church of all ages, including us, was to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And so as a church, we seek to make more disciples who want people to hear this good news and become followers of Jesus as well. But that's only the start of the journey of discipleship, the initial yes, then begins following the way. And so that's why we do practicing the way in our discipleship groups, because we want to teach, we want to grow in becoming more and more like Jesus. Growing as disciples of Jesus. Discipleship is a journey of a lifetime. And so we want people to grow in that, being with Jesus, becoming more like Jesus, and doing the things that he did. And we believe that there is a next step for everyone that comes in. No matter what stage you are in your discipleship to Jesus, no matter what age you are, there's always an opportunity to grow, and there's always an opportunity to serve. And lastly, we were sent out with the ministry of the kingdom. One day, Jesus will come back again to make all things new. The last two chapters of the Bible, you can read what it looks like when the prayer, "Your kingdom come and your will be done," is completely fulfilled. Until that time, we get to partner with the Holy Spirit to see that order of heaven breaking into the chaos of this world. We get to partner with him to see the future that is going to be ours break into the present. Break into this broken world. And Jesus sends us out with power and authority to proclaim this good news, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, offering radical forgiveness, extending compassion, delivering the oppressed to see the kingdom come. Every act of physical healing, every act of forgiveness, every action addressing poverty is a foretaste of God's kingdom that will one day completely be fulfilled on this earth. It will one day be the complete reality of this earth. And we get to partner with the Spirit to see some of that future breaking into the present. This is what we do when we invite people to receive prayer. When people come forward, we simply invite the Holy Spirit to come, and then we seek to partner with him and listen to what he wants to do and pray into that. And let the Holy Spirit do most of the work. And it could be that he's that sometimes we're just ministering a peaceful presence, the loving presence of God. Sometimes it's giving words to the restoration that is happening, some direction for life, some comforting words from the Lord when we're going through turmoil. Also for this to be ministered to in this moment, to today, receive something of the inbreaking kingdom. We'd love for you to experience that today and to come forward. The reason why in this time we talked about building the altar of the heart and the home and the church in this first month of the year is because we wanted to really share a heart for this church and for this coming year. And so there's a few ways that we're going to seek to express those. We want to build a culture of worship and prayer, building the altar of the heart is about a sustained hunger, an ongoing hunger for more of the presence of God. And that needs all of us to be hungry for more and to be pushing in for more. Secondly, we're going to soon be starting a training for the prayer team to learn to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'd love if you're interested at all to learn to do that, to be thrown like in a safe space, try that out, what it's like to listen to the voice of the Spirit and go with what he's giving you. We'd love to invite you to come along and learn to do that. We want to invest more in our Vineyard Kids. We want to see our children flourish as disciples of Jesus over time. This is a high priority in this church community. So it's something we're going to continue to invest in. It's though that they're always a step ahead. Every time we get to a better point with our kids' ministry, demand has also grown because more kids have joined. And so maybe at some point we'll get one step ahead of the kids. Like, we are ready for many more kids. Let's go. That would be fantastic. We want to be welcoming as a church, more and more welcoming, more accessible. And so if you want to join the hospitality team, or we're going to soon start a greeting team, that would be fantastic. And we want to go out more into the city and tell people about Jesus. Because I think I've met more and more people that came to this church because in some way the Lord made them ready. He came to faith. Not here, but out there in some way, through some channels, through some relationships, and at some point decided it's time to go to church. And I want to be a good landing place for that as a church community. I think that's a big responsibility and a big privilege that we have. And maybe for some of them, we need to go out and find them and invite them. We need to be invited to come. Amen. I want to give an opportunity in this moment to respond. During the worship, it did seem like the Lord was calling some people and kind of revealing his love to you, just very simply and plainly, his love to you, and that he knows you, that he loves you, and that he's welcoming you in. and that there's a time for us to respond with a yes to that. And I think also when you heard me speak about what is this good news, who is Jesus, what has he done for you? Maybe some of us want to give a yes to that, like that resonates with me. I would like to receive that. I would like to say yes. I would like to know more. If that is you, let's see how we're going to. I just want to ask you to come to the prayer team and express that. And can the prayer team already kind of get behind me, get ready? I'll do another invitation as well, because it may be a vulnerable moment. But if there's a yes to Jesus in you today, I just want to ask you to come to the prayer team and express that, and they can bless that, they can pray over that, they can maybe lead you through a prayer of saying yes to Jesus. Also, if you want to experience a taste of the kingdom of God, something of what he might have for you, healing, restoration, comfort, peace, whatever it is that you, the need that you have, the burden that you carry, I'd like to ask you to come forward to receive prayer. You're going to partner with the Holy Spirit, see what he wants to do, and pray his yes. Let me just close off with prayer. Please stand with me. We're also going to go back into worship. Let me lead us through a moment of prayer. Lord, as a church community, we want to say yes to your invitation to be the light in this world. We're not going to hide our light under a bucket again, but we're going to put it on a stand so that it gives light to all in the room. As a church, Lord, make us ready and call us out from this place into this city as individual ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Send us out, but also as a church community, send us out, make us ready to be a testimony in this world, to boldly play the tune of the gospel so that everyone might hear and feel invited to sing and to dance along. Make us ready, Lord. Make us ready to go out and make us ready to receive people that are responding. Lord, this year, help us to see the harvest, and let it not be said of us that the workers are few, but that the workers are many. We respond, Jesus, to your invitation to become workers in the harvest. Help us to see who and where you've prepared. And let us respond with faith and faithfulness to you sending us out. And in this moment, to those who are want to give a yes to Jesus, want to give a yes to the kingdom of God, say, I believe that what you were talking about today is for me, and I've not experienced that. I just want to lead you in a simple prayer. Jesus, I receive you now. I feel far away and lost, but I believe that you're calling me out of the darkness into your wonderful light, and I say yes. 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 Guide me. Speak to me. Touch me. I don't want to live without you any longer. I receive you now, Jesus. Amen.